This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump finally unveiled his long-anticipated plan for the Afghanistan war on Monday evening. After considering a variety of plans, from troop withdrawal to privatizing the war, Trump settled on what military generals have been pushing for and what he himself railed against for years, an escalation of the longest war in U.S. history. Trump refused to give specifics on how many more U.S. troops would be sent to Afghanistan, but the U.S. commander there, General John Nicholson, requested, quote, a few thousand more. Trump pledges to, quote, expand authority for American armed forces to target the terrorists and criminal networks, adding, quote, these killers need to know they have nowhere to hide, and that, quote, retribution will be fast and powerful. Trump also promised to play regional politics in South Asia as he criticized Pakistan for giving, quote, safe haven to agents of chaos, violence, and terror, and promised that the U.S. would develop its strategic partnership with India. My guest is Imran Feroz. He's an independent journalist and the founder of Drone Memorial, a virtual memorial for civilian drone strike victims. His work has appeared in the New York Times, Al Jazeera, The Atlantic, The Hindu, The Intercept, Alternate, and several other media outlets. He's also a regular contributor to German language newspapers and magazines, and his upcoming book on drone warfare will be released in Germany in the fall. He now joins us from there. Welcome to the program, Imran.
Thanks for having me.
So first, how do you understand what it was that Trump actually said? In a minute, we'll play a video of one of the things where he said the most specific thing, which also wasn't that specific, but judging by his speech, how would you assess what the Afghanistan war is going to look like now from the U.S. angle?
I think that the recent speech of Donald Trump has shown us that the upcoming or the continuation of the war in Afghanistan will be much more aggressive than in the Obama years. And I also do believe that for many Afghan people, this the whole U.S. foreign policy in Afghanistan will just continue the war. And many people in Afghanistan are just tired of this war. And for that reason, I believe that except of the political elites in Kabul, many are not happy with this decision.
So let's actually watch a clip from the president's speech on Monday evening, where he came close to spelling out what it was that he was actually promising.
A core pillar of our new strategy is a shift from a time-based approach to one based on conditions. I've said it many times, how counterproductive it is for the United States to announce in advance the dates we intend to begin or end military options. We will not talk about numbers of troops or our plans for further military activities. Conditions on the ground, not arbitrary timetables, will guide our strategy from now on. America's enemies must never know our plans or believe they can wait us out. I will not say when we are going to attack, but attack we will. Another fundamental pillar of our new strategy is the integration of all instruments of American power, diplomatic, economic, and military, toward a successful outcome. Someday, after an effective military effort, perhaps it will be possible to have a political settlement that includes elements of the Taliban in Afghanistan. But nobody knows if or when that will ever happen. America will continue its support for the Afghan government and the Afghan military as they confront the Taliban in the field. Ultimately, it is up to the people of Afghanistan to take ownership of their future, to govern their society, and to achieve an everlasting peace. We are a partner and a friend, but we will not dictate to the Afghan people how to live or how to govern their own complex society. We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists.
We are killing terrorists, says Donald Trump. This was part of his speech on Monday night, where he unveiled his strategy on the Afghanistan war that many had been awaiting for months. He spent many months and even years before that criticizing the Obama administration on the Afghanistan war. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But my guest, Imran Feroz, now joins me from Germany to analyze what he said. Imran, one of the main things that he said was that time will not dictate the war's aims. It'll be conditional. So apparently there will be some conditions that will determine whether the U.S. has achieved victory in Afghanistan or not. But he didn't actually spell out what those conditions were, right? What do you make of it? Kill every last terrorist? And how do you even do that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are certain problems with Trump's speech. First of all, one of the main problems in my eyes is that he's equating ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. All of them are, according to Trump, the same, and all of them have to be killed, they have to vanish. And maybe he thinks that when all of them are gone, Afghanistan is a safe place and the people are happy. But that's not how this is going to work. Many people, especially those who are focusing on Afghanistan for years, have realized that more US troops cannot change the situation for good. I mean, we have already seen more than 100,000 Western soldiers in Afghanistan, and they were not able to change the reality on the ground. Instead, we have seen that the insurgency, the Taliban insurgency, became stronger. We have seen that other groups like ISIS appeared on the ground. So the conclusion of this is that more soldiers, more violence cannot change this reality. Instead, the Afghan people, Afghanistan itself, does need a political solution. And this political solution also must include the Taliban to reach a peace deal. Additionally, you have already mentioned that Trump in his speech stated that now nation building is over, the US is going to kill terrorists. But who are the terrorists? I mean, we know that since 2012, I think, we know that the official doctrine of the White House is that every military-aged male in a strike zone is considered as an enemy combatant, which means that all these people, the absolute majority, even children in Afghanistan, are considered as terrorists when they get killed by airstrikes or drone strikes or whatever other kind of aggression by U.S. forces. So there are these problems, and I think that not a single one of them has been touched by Trump.
Now, he remarkably said, someday after an effective military effort, perhaps it will be possible to have a political settlement that includes elements of the Taliban in Afghanistan, but nobody knows if or when that will ever happen. I couldn't believe this part of his speech, where he basically said, maybe someday, sometime, something might happen, but we don't know if it actually will.
Yes. When the United States entered Afghanistan at the end of 2001, a few wise observers were sure that they are going to stay there for a very, very long time. You know, U.S. troops built huge military bases in Afghanistan. And such you don't build such bases, you know, for 10 years or 15 years. I'm sure that the Pentagon and the whole U.S. Parts of the U.S. government calculated then that they are going to stay in Afghanistan for a long time, and maybe the generals who are now behind Trump, you know, the whole military intelligence apparatus behind Trump, already told this to him during the last month. He also said that, he pointed out that in past he has been very anti-interventionist relating Afghanistan, but now he has become some kind of more realistic, and for that reason, the best thing is to stay in Afghanistan and to deploy more troops there. So I think, although Trump himself said, quote unquote, that he during the last month or whatever, he made a lot of research in Afghanistan and he thought a lot about it. I think that he, in fact, he doesn't know really what's going on the ground, and that the military behind him is now creating the reality on the ground.
Yeah, and in fact, let's look through some of the things that Trump said when he was campaigning for the presidency. You know, it's of course so much easier to criticize from the outside in when you're not facing the kind of pressures that presidents do face. He railed against the Obama administration, particularly through Twitter, in speaking out on the Afghanistan war. And on many of those things, he was right, right? He talked about how it was, where we're essentially wasting money in Afghanistan. We're building roads and schools. Well, of course, his characterizations were not necessarily accurate. We're building roads and schools for people that hate us. It's not in our national interests. Definitely very imperialist rhetoric. But he did say in 2012, Afghanistan is a total disaster. We don't know what we're doing, which, of course, was probably the truest thing that that he said. So this history of him speaking out about the against the Afghanistan war, a lot of his support in the United States among his base supported him on this. You know, a lot of people on the right who were tired of war supported him on this. Now they are angry that he is escalating this war, seemingly an unending escalation. And even Breitbart, the media outlet that Steve Bannon has now returned to, railed against him for flip-flopping on the Afghanistan war. Do you think Trump is going to pay any sort of political price for going along with the generals and expanding this war?
Well, I agree with you that I think Trump has lost a lot of supporters now because of this kind of politics. But I don't know how this will influence the future. I mean, this guy is now the president, and as it looks like at the moment, he's going to be the president for the upcoming years.
Unless he loses his eyesight from staring at the sun on the solar eclipse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But as I said, I think although his parts of his supporters are angry, he's already the president, and he's making politics now. And I think the people who will mostly suffer from this are the Afghan people or other people around the world who are suffering from U.S. wars.
Let's talk about that. The civilian casualties in Afghanistan have skyrocketed over time. They've just gone up and up and up. This year is on par with previous years. How are children in particular impacted as well? You said any military-aged Afghan men that include young men or even teenagers and children are considered fair game for airstrikes and even drone strikes by the U.S. How are children being impacted in Afghanistan? And could we simply see an even bigger rise in civilian casualties under Trump because of this plan?
Children are affected by the war in Afghanistan in any means, by all kind of violence. I mean, airstrikes. I'm talking about suicide attacks, bombings, combat situations between the Afghan army and the Taliban. You know, there are always civilians who are getting hit first, and a lot of them are also children. The United Nations stated that in 2016, more than 11,500 civilian Afghans have been killed or injured during the war. And of course, a lot of them are also killed by airstrikes and drone strikes. We have seen that also, according to the United Nations, that civilian casualties caused by airstrikes, by US airstrikes, increased during the first 6 months of 2017 compared to the first 6 months of 2016 by 70%.
So even before he announced this plan on Monday, the military was effectively escalating the war in the first half of this year?
Yes, of course. I have also interviewed several people on the ground in war zone areas in Afghanistan, for example, in the eastern province of Nangarhar, where many districts are getting bombed regularly, and many districts are also controlled by insurgents, by Taliban, a few also by ISIS. And, you know, people on the ground there all told me the same. They said air crisis increased since Trump took over. And when I asked them how was the situation during Obama, they said, yeah, there were also a lot of bombings, but there is a huge difference since Trump took over. And for example, in Nangarhar, just in July, according to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in London, more than 150 drone strikes just took place in this single province. And these numbers are very worrying. And of course, I do believe that Donald Trump already before even writing the speech, he told his generals that they are now free to do whatever whatever they want in Afghanistan and also in other regions. I mean, we have also seen increasing civilian casualties in Iraq and Syria by U.S. airstrikes and, you know, relating the killed children in all these areas. I want to remind you that Donald Trump, during his campaign, said that he said that it's legitimate to kill the families of terrorists. And I think that's just an effect of this. He's just fulfilling what he already promised. He's allowing his military to bomb blindly and kill innocent people.
So even though he railed against the Afghanistan war, he did promise an escalation against the Islamic State. This was a big part of his campaign. And because there is some Islamic State presence in Afghanistan, presumably that is the way he might try to justify his escalation of the Afghanistan war. Let's talk about, because you talked about the drone strikes, which really expanded under Obama and will likely be a feature of the Trump administration as well. Tell us a little bit about Drone Memorial, this website that you're the founder of. What is it and how do you track the victims of US drones?
I created Drone Memorial at the end of 2015, I think it was, at the end of 2015. And the main aim of this project was to remember civilian drone strike victims. Because, as I noticed, that, you know, there are memorials for many other kinds of terror victims all around the world, but the victims of drone warfare, which is led, you know, by the US drone warfare, the victims of this war are barely mentioned, and you will also not find much about this, and they're also, you know, there isn't a single memorial for this kind of terrorism. So I thought at least it should be possible to build a virtual memorial for these people. And relating the research of such victims, well, that's a very difficult thing because all areas that are haunted by US drones are very remote areas. They are very unknown to many parts of the world and to many people. And you will also rarely find journalists or human rights observers there. And if there are some, you will not hear much about them, at least not in mainstream media coverage as we know it. And that's the main aim why I created this website. And the research is also conducted through sources on the ground. For example, there are also many, many names of civilian drone strike victims were available thanks to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in London, which is doing great work on drone warfare. But in my eyes, the coverage is still too less. And it is necessary to create much more focus on this issue. And that's also another reason why I created this website.
I want to also talk a little bit more about Trump's broader strategy. In his speech on the Afghanistan war escalation on Monday evening, he also delved into a broader South Asian strategy. And for years, the U.S. has sort of played Pakistan against India or India against Pakistan. These are, of course, two neighboring countries in the region that have both over the years played a role in Afghanistan politics. Trump seemed to come on the side of India against Pakistan,
yes.
Which has, you know, reversed a little bit what some previous presidents have done. And of course, the Pakistani leadership is quite upset about this. The Indian leadership might be happy about this. But how perilous is it? How dangerous is it for him to play these kinds of politics? We know they haven't worked in the past.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's worth to mention that Afghanistan has also, especially during the last years, it has been a chessboard for political power, for foreign powers and for neighboring states. And of course, it was also a chessboard for India and Pakistan. As you already mentioned, many people did not really expect that Trump is going to criticize Pakistan that much. For example, when he became president, one of the first things I think he did was to call Pakistan's president Nawaz Sharif and to talk with him very friendly and to chat with him, not really about serious stuff. And now suddenly he has turned on India. I think this was also expectable because we have seen that Donald Trump and the Indian president Narendra Modi where, you know, they understood each other very well. And I think both of them are also not so much different from each other. I also believe that many Afghans, especially from the country's political elite, are happy with this. They are happy that Trump is now, you know, allying more with India, because India has some kind of good reputation among these people. Although, as you might know, President Modi is a hardcore anti-Muslim extremist, in fact. And, I think both countries have played a disastrous role in the region and especially in Afghanistan. But India was much more tricky. And I think that the Indian president also understood how to talk with the Afghans or with the politicians in Kabul, and how he could make them feel comfortable. And the Pakistanis, you know, they have a bad reputation since years, and so Modi had a very easy game to do this. And yeah, now he reached the next step. Because Trump endorsed him and endorsed India for his Afghanistan policy. I think that, as already mentioned, many of the political class in Kabul support this. Also, the Afghan president Ashraf Ghani is a good friend of President Modi. But I do believe that the whole thing is just about a proxy war of India and Pakistan on Afghan ground, and that this will not stabilize anything in the country.
Right. Unfortunately, Afghanistan has for many decades been the battleground for proxy wars. Well, Imran, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to Drone Memorial from our site later today. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
My guest is Imran Feroz. He is an independent journalist and the founder of Drone Memorial, a virtual memorial for civilian drone strike victims. His work has appeared in the New York Times, Al Jazeera, The Atlantic, The Hindu, The Intercept, Alternet, and others. He's also a regular contributor to German language newspapers and magazines, and he has an upcoming book on drone warfare that will be released in Germany in the fall. We've been discussing Donald Trump's new plan for escalating the Afghan war. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.